In the beginning, the goddess herself said, I wish I had, like, something to listen to. I'm bored. And then there was Queermocast!
Queermo is the Queermocast. It's the Queermo is the Queermocast. Welcome to the Queermocast. With KJ and Chim Cham. With KJ and Chim Cham.
Yeah! Hello and welcome to the Queermocast 2024.
Woo!
I am your host, Shim Sham. They, them pronouns, or any pronouns said with love. And over here I have...
Hi, I'm KJ. Pronouns are they, them. And it is time, mama. We are back. We're back again. It's happening.
I gotta tell you, I am excited about 2024. It has a better ring to it. It's an even number. And we all know even numbers are nicer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just better, you know? And there's no global warming this year. I don't know if you heard.
Oh, did we finally figure that out? Did we fix that?
No, there's just a reprieve. There's going to be a year-long reprieve. In order to get the reprieve, we had to speed up global warming. But we'll worry about that next year.
I mean, that's next year us problem. That's fine.
Yeah.
It's 2024.
Anyway, we're back. I'm so excited. We took a bit of a break. I needed a break. Where are we starting? I thought we could, without getting into too much detail, because we have stalkers and fans, and we don't want to give away our locations. But I thought we could maybe talk about what went well in 2023? What are our highlights? What do we want to take with us from 2023 into this new year? And then maybe just end on, like, what are we leaving behind? What is, like, staying in the past? None of that. Hoobity-goo.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea because 2023 did have some ups. It had some really great ups, some really beautiful highs, and also... 2023 was rough for a lot of reasons, individually and globally. So, you know, we're working through it and we're coming into 2024 with renewed vigor. So I think that's a great idea. And I thought, what better way to start and bring it all back than with a tarot card? It's time.
Yay!
Let's do it. So this week, we have drawn the Knight of Pentacles. Mama, can you describe this beautiful knight?
Yes. She is on a seahorse unicorn, of course. I assume the Kingdom of Atlantis hires seahorse unicorns in the summer for their festivals. And and this person... probably uses they, them pronouns, and they are on the seahorse. The seahorse is wearing ceremonial attire, so it's probably part of some sort of parade. I'm adding a lot of editorialize. That would have helped no one. Okay, you're welcome.
So there are some specific imageries here. We have trans representation.
Ooh.
We have lesbian representation. Okay. We have just general queer representation in terms of the flag colors.
Okay.
And so the Knight of Pentacles, and you also notice that it is a unicorn, which unicorns, queer people, I mean, come on.
You like them?
Come on.
You like them?
Come on. So the Knight of Pentacles is a card that represents perseverance and doing the nitty-gritty things. So... a lot of the things that a lot of us don't always love doing, right? The when we think about, like you were saying, the pride parade, right? Like a big parade. The part that everybody remembers is the parade. All of the beautiful fruits of the labor. What no one thinks about is the tens of 20s of hundreds of hours that go into planning that parade. All of the people you have to hire, all the stuff you got to do that. The Knight of Pentacles is all about recognizing when other people are involved with doing that work and recognizing them for that work, or about getting involved in that work yourself. Now, We're a queer podcast, so that could be a call to action, a call to activism, but it could also just be a call to all of you out there to think about those areas of your life that maybe you need to dive into a little bit more. Those tough, sticky areas. Like for me, this year is the year that I finally figure out a little bit more about how to function financially in a world that I truly don't believe that money exists. It's a thing we made up, and we could have a different system, but until we figure out how to fix that system, we have to deal with the one we have. And I'm coming to terms with that and trying not to dig myself into such a terrible financial hole that I'm no use to anybody. So that's this year, is really like focusing on how do I financially survive better while also being involved and being present in the areas of my life that I actually care about. Which is hard for me to say because, again, I don't care about money, but I have to, just a little bit more than I do.
Money sucks because we all have to care. And it does, though. It feels gauche. No.
Gauche, indeed. I love that word.
But yeah, money is one of those things that it runs the world whether we want it to or not. And we have to... We have to have money to live, and we have and that's all I'm going to say about the matter.
I mean, it's tough, right? Because we don't want to turn into those people that are like, and you got to be thinking about your 401k, you got to be thinking about your bonds, your stocks, your blah, because I don't care about any of that shit. But I need to be able to understand enough about it to be able to, again, not be in such a financial dire straits that I can't figure out how to move on or move forward or function in my day-to-day life. So that's a big part of it for me, because I want to be able to utilize a little bit more of that freedom to actually get out and be a part of my community a little bit more. And if I'm not so focused on my day-to-day, do I have enough to pay rent this month? Do I have enough, you know, can I not take on that extra student so I have a little bit more free time to do this? That would actually be really great. Saying no to things I don't want to do is a big part of this year, too. But we'll get to that later.
I love to say no.
Oh my love goodness. It. So what does that too mean much. For you? What does that mean for you in terms of the Knight of Pentacles?
That works perfectly, because I have been thinking about how to get back into activism and volunteering and being more a part of the community. And if you're listening to this podcast, yes, I have talked about this before. And no, this is not an opportunity to call me on my shit.
Don't do it. Don't you dare.
And all I mean is, I know I've talked before about wanting to be more involved with the community, and that didn't happen in 2023. And is it okay to dive into 2023?
I think this card is actually a really good jumping off point for, again, what we wanted from 2023 that maybe didn't happen, and what we are focusing on taking back for 2024.
Yeah, because I think why I wanted to dive right into it is because I do want to get more involved with activism and involved with my community in general. And I just kind of wanted to explain a little bit what went on in 2023 and maybe why that didn't happen. So in 2023, I got diagnosed with sleep apnea. It was, and if you don't know what sleep apnea is, that is when there is soft tissue in the air passageway that collapses. Oh, so this is obstructive sleep apnea. There are different types. This collapses and you stop breathing during the night. And I had a sleep study done and I stopped breathing 120 times an hour. And I don't know if you know about hours, but there's 60 minutes.
That's a lot of times an hour.
What happens when you stop breathing? Your blood oxygenation goes down. Your blood pressure increases to try and get what little oxygen we have into more of our cells and our organs. All your stress hormones increase. It's like, why aren't we breathing? So then you wake up, what we call exhausted.
Ah, yes, the medical term.
So anyway, I got diagnosed with it. I had severe sleep apnea, and who knows how long that had been going on. Mm-hmm. Another thing I've been struggling with is my weight. And again, with weight, it's just a number. It doesn't mean anything. But for me, it had meant something, because not only was my weight going up, but my fatigue and my energy level was, I had no energy. So, and then my diagnosis took time. It took scheduling a doctor's appointment, and then a month later, a sleep study, and then a month later, the results, and then a month later, get the machine, right? Like, so it was a lengthy process, and mm-hmm. it was very expensive, even with insurance, and ended up costing me over $2,000. So it was very time-consuming, very lengthy. And then I don't know if anyone knows about the CPAP machine, but she is wonderful, but she takes some getting used to. You know, she's that friend at the party that breathes directly into your nose.
I'm right. And we all have that friend at the party, don't we?
So anyway, so that was happening in 2023, along with everything that happens in life. You know, we're working mm-hmm. and we have money troubles and... So everything else happening in life, plus this like huge life change and also realization, like, this is why you're so tired. And not just regular tired, but like fall asleep at the wheel tired.
Advanced so, tired.
Tired 302, you guys.
Oh, okay? My gosh.
It was a 300 level course.
I'm surprised it wasn't graduate at this point in time. 500 level. Come on.
No, too expensive.
Too expensive. Yeah, don't talk to... Yeah, I know.
Not that absolve... I mean, actually, I'm not here to apologize for what happened in 2023.
No.
So I should say, I'm just here to kind of explain that was kind of my journey and maybe why getting involved with the community wasn't my priority. And so... 2024, I am now I'm very used to the CPAP. I actually can't sleep without it now. And so that's good. So now I just kind of want to focus on my health improving. And along with that, getting more social again. You know, COVID definitely impacted me not wanting to socialize. I don't know if I'll ever enjoy big groups again.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, us going to an Evanescence concert, being crowded wall to wall, that was perfect. And now that might be like 6 feet, bitch.
Right.
So anyway, that's just kind of a little kind of, so I really want 2024 to be about community and also about health. So yeah, so what's coming up? Yeah, tell me about your 2023, what really stood out for you and everything you want to share.
So yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot. I actually a friend of mine came over on New Year's Eve and we had a little talk as we neared midnight about the year and kind of took in the year and what was positive and what do we want to leave behind and also what maybe isn't positive, but that we have to take into 2024 with us. That was an interesting part of the conversation. But 2023 for me was kind of reaching the end of my tether in a lot of ways. How much am I really able to take on myself without imploding or exploding? I don't know. We'll find out.
Ooh, floating both ways.
You know,
floats both ways.
That's what I want to put on my tombstone. She floated both ways.
She floated both ways. And then got hit by a bus.
And then got hit by, again, floated both ways. In and out. In and out.
It was so cute.
That's horrifying. Is this the end of a scary movie or the end of a Final Destination? What is happening?
Final Destination 25, the plodening.
The plodening. That sounds like an episode of Bob's Burgers. We should write it. We'll make millions. But so 2023 really ended up being the year that my body started to make it really clear what I could and could not handle. And part of it was, I think, in 2022, I ended up getting COVID twice, both through circumstances that kind of sucked and very unexpectedly. The first one less unexpected, but the second one definitely just like, nope, it just happened to pop up. Even though I was wearing masks and staying home as much as possible, it's still, you know, she crept up on me. So I started 2023 definitely realizing that getting COVID twice didn't do a lot of wonders for my already damaged respiratory system, because I'm allergic to everything outside and inside, breathing wise, thankfully no foods, and not cats. What a delight. I'm not allergic to cats. Thank goddess. But I started off the year like really realizing that I was doing too much, but didn't see a way out of doing too much until April, when my ankle gave out on me in a very, very big way for the first time ever. I've had problems with my ankles for a long time, but this was the first time where for an extended period of time, my ankle was like, no, we're not healing. Good luck, bitch. Sit still for 5 seconds or 3 weeks, as it turned out. And I went to PT and I got exercises that I was supposed to do, and I was infrequent about them at best, which I've improved upon, but we'll get there. And off and on throughout the year, it would heal for a little bit and then it would flare up, and then it would heal for a little bit and it would flare up, and flare up in ways where, like, my partner can attest to this, getting up and down the stairs was almost impossible. And I finally was like, okay, we need to get compression socks. And then I got a sleep boot, and then I got crutches, and now finally I have a cane, because on the inside I have always been a 75-year-old woman.
A pensioner.
And all those things cost money, and I really had to dig into a very small amount of savings that I had and just wipe it all clean for medical stuff. And I had to and that led to me stop teaching group exercise classes. I don't teach dance classes or water classes anymore because my ankle kept giving out on me so much that I couldn't consistently keep a class in a way that made sense. I don't know if anybody out there has ever taught those classes, but you do not get PTO. You have to find a sub or teach. That's the expectation. And thankfully, one of my bosses was super nice and was always really great about helping. But it was stressful because at any moment, my body could just decide, you know what? I don't want to today. And then for 3 weeks, walking was almost impossible. And that was on top of, again, trying to like make enough money to live. When I stopped being able to teach those classes, I lost 5 hours worth of work a week, which makes a difference when you're making not as much. Not so much.
Right? Like welcome to America when you're sick.
Exactly.
Because not only do most of the costs have to come out of your pocket, but we live in a work culture, and we're not even one of the worst work cultures in the world, but we live in a work culture where there is no time off. You don't get paid if you can't work. And also your job is on the line. It's very stressful in so many ways.
Which is ideal for healing.
I always tell my patients, when you're healing, make sure you're really emotionally stressed out.
just drained all the time.
Yeah.
Just like, mwah, chef's kiss. So those were some of the lows this year, were that my body, again, started to send me like more signs that, hey, you're a bit more chronically ill than you want to believe, and that you have to deal with. You have to be able to deal with this in order to function, you know? So the 2023 became a year of, okay, we're cutting this out. And then I have to find a way to replace it. And I think towards the end of the year, I finally started to find that balance. But the last big thing that I had to get through, that I didn't necessarily have to get through, I made the choice, was putting on the concert version of a musical that I wrote that I was so excited for, I'm still so proud of, and I'm still so happy that I did. And also, thank you. Round of applause. Thank you. It did go very, very well, especially considering the amount of time that we had to work on it and what I was able to like afford in terms of equipment and to pay people to do it. I am still amazed that it turned out as well as it did, and I'm so proud of that work.
Let's tell people a little bit what you did. Did you write this music from scratch?
I did. I wrote the music from scratch.
Did you come up with rehearsal tracks to help your singers?
I did. And also, yeah, practice tracks to sing along with. We rehearsed.
Did you have to find your singers all on your own?
I did. There's a thing called Minnesota Playlist that I used. And then, like, just Facebook Marketplace and Facebook groups and whatever, and Instagram stories and a TikTok. You know what I mean? Like, everything I could.
Did you have to find the location to perform in?
Thankfully, that kind of fell into my lap because we moved into this bigger space at the studio I teach from. And my our lead teacher and owner was kind enough to let me use it. So,
but it was still your responsibility to find it.
And also to set it up and take it all down.
Like, I just don't think, like, people, when you tell this story, appreciate that when you created this, wrote it, found your singers, found the location, like, don't really realize that you completely made this happen. Like, huge. And, huge.
And I think the reason I sometimes don't go into all that is, A, raised in a very repressive Midwestern environment. So, you're proud of yourself? Yeah.
Fuck you.
You know.
Can we bleep that Junko? Just
kidding. Oh, speaking of which, we have Junko here with us, who is going to be our sound engineer moving forward. I'm not sure if she's recording right now, so she might not be able to interject on the pod. So maybe you can add it in post. But hello, Junko. Welcome. Thank
hello,
you for
Junko.
Being here.
Yay. Yeah, we have a sound engineer. So pretty much walking around Eau Claire, avoiding the paparazzi, pretty much impossible.
I mean, everywhere we go, every single time we leave the house.
If this was a video, that's where you would insert a clip of me walking into the grocery store and a stranger walking past me, not looking at me at all, and me shouting, "Do you mind?"
Oh my God.
Anyway, it's back to, you totally put this on your own. Amazing accomplishment.
And
awesome.
I felt so proud of it. And also, it was such a wake up call because I'm so used to feeling like it's not even that I don't trust other people to do it with me. I'm so used to feeling like I can't ask other people to help put things like this on or to like be expected to actually put in the work that I expect myself to put into things, that I just don't ask for the help, or I just assume no one's going to want to do it, even though they are. And I know that that's we could spend way too much time deep diving into why that is. And that's frankly a conversation for me and my therapist, but it was a good eye opener for, like, I want to collaborate with people. And in the future, when I do projects like this, it has to be a collaboration, and it should be. So I wanted to celebrate what I did. And also, I have never been as tired as I was when I finished it. Like, I have, and part of that, yes, is doing hard work is tiring, but I do a lot of things where I work way harder than I need to and do a lot more work than maybe I need to by myself. And that was one of those moments where my body and my spirit, my entire being was like, stop doing this. No more. And so I'm so glad that I did it, partially because it showed me that, and also because it showed me that there are people out there that do want to collaborate. They do want to do that work with you, and they actually would love to be invited in to do more if you would just ask them. You know, if you would just invite them.
Well, also to paint a picture why that would have been so exhausting, that wasn't your job, was it?
No. Was not.
And when I say that, I'm using job in the capitalist sense of, did it make you money? And I know that's gauche, but that's what I meant, because you had not only was it not your job, but it cost you money.
It sure did. It cost me.
And it cost you time.
It cost me a lot of
time. Time is money, baby.
It's money, baby. and I am like quintessential Taurus. I do love to be really busy and doing stuff, but the moment that I have free time to do nothing, I'm getting way better at just sinking into like, this blanket is great.
Really?
That's partially because it's now legal in Minnesota to buy edibles, and I'm not gonna lie. Good afternoon.
Is all marijuana legal?
Yes, basically. Okay. We're still dealing with like the bureaucratic blah blah blah. Okay. But come 2025, you're gonna start seeing dispensaries here in Minnesota. Now, wonderful. There are lots of conversations about racial justice there and a lot of other things to be had.
I always think that how Black people specifically, but all people of color, have been way over persecuted for marijuana forever. Mm-hmm. And now you see now that it's becoming legal, you see all these white people posting funny Instagrams and TikToks of being high, which I think is great. I don't think those people need to stop. It's just, it does fill you with that. There are people still in jail for marijuana-related crimes, and they're largely exactly. people of color. And so, yeah. Anyway, sorry.
No. You're 100% right, because this is how my brain works all the time. I'm like feeling joy about something, and then immediately my brain does its own version of joy whack-a-mole, where it's like, don't you dare feel happy. There are other people suffering, which is a thing, again, we're working on for 2024. That's a big thing I'm working on for 2024. I can hold space for my own joy and also be aware that there's work to be done and things that I can and should be doing. But we got to have space for both of those things. Mm-hmm. I am a queer person who, frankly, doesn't talk to most of their family anymore. Like, that's a big thing that happened in 2023 that I had to kind of contend with, that, you know, that emotionally takes a toll. You know, I'm discovering more and more of myself, and I want to take that into 2024 with me, that the things that I'm doing and the things that I'm connecting with are enough because I'm doing them at all. There's always going to be more, but if I expect myself to be the only person doing those things and to take the weight of all of it on my shoulders, like, not only is that impossible, but like, come on now.
come on.
take it down a notch. So that leads us to the autumn, where Jay and I watched and created public viewings of 31 films we did as like public viewings for the spooky season. And then we had a list of 60 films that we finished on December 2nd, I believe, was the day we finally finished all of them. We were trying to finish them by Thanksgiving, but there were a few that we just weren't able to fit in. And that was, a lot of that was to just connect with people and just be able to like sit, enjoy each other's company, and revel in the fact that it's our favorite time of year. And holding space for that joy really mattered. And I had it was nice to be able to offer that space and that time to people, because it ended up really bringing us closer together with some people, which I think is beautiful and so important. Community building is important.
And that brings me to something that I found really positive in 2023.
Yes.
That I'm definitely bringing with me to 2024 is, we've really embraced this getting together digitally. Mm-hmm. We watch movies online together. We play video games online together. And why that's so great, it's not to replace face-to-face human interaction.
Right.
Because that is very important. But and all my people are spread out. You know, I have KJ in the Minneapolis, St. Paul metropolitan area.
Boy, that's for sure.
One of my best friends lives in Texas. And my people in Eau Claire, we're all very similar, where we don't always want to leave the house. For various reasons, sometimes legitimate, like I'm sick, I'm coming down with something, I don't want to expose anybody, a habit from COVID that I hope we continue to take with us,
yeah.
That if you're sick, don't go.
stay home right, if you can.
Or wear a mask if you have to go.
Yep, or wear a mask.
So anyway, this getting together digitally has really saved me because I honestly feel I have a thriving social circle. But I do. I have lots of people that I can socialize with. Mm-hmm. And we can get together digitally and virtually, which is really great. It isn't the same as face-to-face. But there's also pros and cons to that because as a person with social anxiety, getting together remotely eases that a little. So,
exactly.
You know, because when you get together face to face, if you're a person with social anxiety like me, you're like, all the pauses where we're not talking, that's just natural part of being human. If you're a person with social anxiety, you're like, oh no, they're bored. They're bored.
they're bored. They don't like being around me. This is terrible.
Yeah. Anyway, I want to bring that with me. I do want to stay involved more with my community and get together with people face-to-face more. But I really like that we've adopted this getting together remotely. That's a really nice tool to have.
It is. And I think leaving space for it is so important because it's passive. And I say that in a really good way. You know what I mean? It's like we can get together and enjoy each other's company. That doesn't have to feel like, okay, so now we have to plan, even though it's only an hour and a half, it's like, okay, we got to plan the drive. We have to make sure, you know what I mean? Like there's a lot that goes into getting together face to face that is just different than it was when we were kids and we were like ready to go. You know what I mean? We're ready to go. Like for me, I'll speak for myself. I was ready to get the fuck out of my house. Mm-hmm. I wanted to go anywhere but my house. So like, yeah, if we were just like going to drive around the back roads at like 9 o'clock at night, that was more interesting and more fun. You know what I mean? Whereas now you got to make an effort. You got to call me when you go off. No, but it is. It's just very different. And I think utilizing the digital space that we have helps keep the connection strong from when we do get together in person, because we do still get together in person. We should make that clear. We were just together a couple weeks ago. Like it's not like we don't get together at all. And I'm trying to make it to Eau Claire more often. Just because you've got a beautiful home, you've got a nice house.
Sometimes you just gotta get out of the city, meet the people. Shake
the hands. Just be a part of the people.
Not and her hand. She just coughed into it.
I know, actually I'd rather not touch most people's hands anymore. It's bump and elbow,
but COVID, it is really interesting what it has done to the population, because for some of us it's really aged us. Like we're like, honey, don't shake her hand, she hasn't washed it.
And how can I tell? I can tell. But well, and also right now, like, sorry to get a little serious on all your asses, but right now we are actually in one of the largest surges we've been in since the beginning of the pandemic right fucking now in this country. So like, wash your hands, wear your mask, and you should just be doing that anyway if you're going out to large functions or if you're going to be in places where you're going to have to stand close to people like the grocery store. Put a mask on and stop whining about it, Carol.
And quit molesting the bread. Quit molesting
it. Damn it.
Bread is soft and malleable. You don't need to squeeze it.
I don't need your fingerprint in it. Thank you.
God.
Anyway, that went off in a very different direction. I'm sorry, Carol. We just need you to be better.
One of my favorite things is Midwestern conversations. And I was at the doctor's office recently, and I heard two older women talking, and I just loved their conversation because it was like, yeah, we got a lot of snow. Yeah, drive wasn't too bad, though. No. You know what? When Dad died, I don't think any of the boys cried at his funeral. No, I don't think so either. But I found this really great chicken recipe. It was so like quiet and mundane waiting for the doctor, but all over the spectrum. I love it.
The reality of I've like that hit me in waves, the just like pure and real reality of that like general line of conversation.
My favorite, because that was legit what happened, was I don't think any of the boys cried at Dad's funeral. No, no, I don't think so either. It's like, what? Is this an exploration of gender? What's happening?
Ethel, that's because they were socialized to not cry.
We have two older white ladies at the doctor room in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, exploring gender. Congratulations. Thank you.
Oh, we've made it. We've done it. We solved it. So I guess, I mean, my to kind of jump off of not necessarily that conversation, but just the fact that, like, you and I can go off on any direction at any time. That's just sort of the way that our conversation style has always been. But to get us on track. So yes. You were talking about things you want to bring into 2024 that were positives from 2023. And my positive from 2023 is I finally whittled down my work schedule to a place where I can do both direct instruction and have a comfortable amount of time to do my unpaid work in a timely fashion, which is prep for all the classes that I teach. Oftentimes I was rushing. I was making playlists for classes I was about to teach like 20 minutes before I left to go teach that class a lot of the time. Not because I didn't want to spend more time on it, because I didn't have any time to spend on it. Or like, I'm still at the point right now sometimes where I'm making slides for a class that I'm going to teach. Sometimes as I'm about to run in to teach that class, I'm still like rearranging slides and like pulling from Wikipedia articles and like online articles about this composer, because I'm just like I'm running from thing to thing. So this year I got rid of my car and I have been taking public transit. And I've been utilizing the time on public transit for, like, I'm going to read three chapters of this book that I've been neglecting to read. And then I'm going to do my Duolingo. And then I'm just going to stare out the window for a little bit. Like, those are, like, but between my trip in and my trip home, those are the things that I'm, like, trying to be productively passive, passively productive. Where I'm like, no, I'm going to do my Duolingo and my Lingvano, because I just downloaded an app to start learning ASL. We should talk more about that because it's real fun. And also take a little time to just like read for pleasure and just like stare out the window at the city lights, you know, as they go flying past. I love all of that. That's what I used to do when we lived in D.C. And just spending that time, like kind of almost forcibly by not having a car, it's like, no, those are my moments to sit and almost do leisure activities. But then occasionally I'll take my headphones out and I will hear conversations around me on the bus. And let me tell you, sometimes it's very similar where it's like these two folks sitting next to me, they're talking about like something that happened to them yesterday. And these folks back here are talking about, again, like the weather and the mundane. These folks over here are talking about like police reform, and someone in the back is sleeping for the first time all day. You know what I mean? Like they're catching some Z's, and it's a weird microcosm of what's going on around me. And I feel strangely more connected to the world by being on the bus and being on the train than I do being in a car stuck in traffic, or more accurately, being a part of traffic being stuck. Because when you're not stuck in traffic, darling, you are traffic. that's not how it works. Everybody else isn't traffic and you're the main character. No, no, you're all traffic. I am traffic. Traffic is me. or being on my bike.
I love that. And this is a dream KJ and I share. Yes. And I know not everybody might share this dream, but we just love the idea of if there was more, more walking, more accessibility with sidewalks. And I really want to start doing that more if you're listening from Eau Claire. Hello.
Oh, hi.
I live in the East Hill. Yeah. I am rich.
You should be jealous.
You're welcome.
Yes.
No, it's just the neighborhood people like in our town. Mm. And it's just funny because it's always like, oh, the East Hill. Ooh. And let me tell you, only a handful of people react that way because I'm off on a tangent. Anyway, my point is I live near things. I live near things. So like if I want to get coffee at what's it called? Shift? If I want to get coffee at Shift, I could walk there. It's not that far. I could ride bike to the grocery store as long as I got a backpack and a little basket.
Yeah. Very French.
Because, like, kind of like what you said, using public transportation, walking, biking, these things are good exercise. They get you out into the world. And in a way, in kind of a, and like a, you're not with everybody. You know what I mean? Like, you're not talking to all the people around you. You could, but no, I'm not gonna. but you're a part, you're out in the community. And there is something about that that's nice that we've lost. Mm-hmm. You know, we both enjoy this YouTube channel that kind of talks about how there, we're, by having everything be connected by these roads and everyone's driving 45 miles an hour and you're here and there, you're just here to there so fast, we've kind of lost this idea of like the city center, la piazza.
Yes.
Like of just going downtown and being a part of the community. When I was in the Castro in San Francisco, one thing I learned was when something big happened with the LGBTQ community, people just went to the Castro. You know what I mean? There wasn't all these gadgets and Snapchat, but you know what I mean? Like, there wasn't as much technology back then. So you just went to the Castro to kind of see what was going on, get an update, you know?
Yeah.
And so anyway, I like that. I love what you're saying with that.
And yeah. Well, and it's really nice to chat with people about it because, again, because we do live in the society that we do, we're very disconnected from each other in a lot of ways. And like, I finally am starting to like get polite waves and nods from neighbors who live near us, because we've now been here almost a year in our current home. And it feels nice to like actually like stop and chat with them because I'm outside. I'm on a walk. I'm not inside of a car flying down the road. I'm outside for a walk, and that's why I'm glad that I have this walking boot, but it's maybe a little too late for going out walking in a boot because it's too cold. My toes are exposed. Even with my thick socks on. But I want my ankle to heal because I love a magical winter wonderland walk. Even when it's really cold. I like being outside, and I just feel a lot more connected to myself and to other people, and I'm using that as a catalyst to get more like confident and comfortable with just being involved in general. And you know,
and one thing I want to do too is just be more active. And so yesterday I went on a snowshoe in the woods.
Yes.
And that was so nice. So anyway, sorry to interject. I just wanted to say it while it was fresh.
No. That's a perfect interjection, because that's also something, again, I'm just going to keep bringing it up because mostly because I'm going stir crazy. This has been my reality for over a month now. It got hurt at like the early middle part of December. And it's still not fully healed enough for me to just put a shoe on and go, right? Walking 4 blocks takes me a very long time right now because I have to use my cane. But I'm grateful for those 4 blocks because I'm going a little. You know me. I used to go on hour-long walks.
She loves to walk. She loves to go, go, go.
Well,
she's busy.
Anxiety walks are really more what they are. I like to go burn off my brain energy by just wandering for a little while and get lost for a little while, and I can't do that right now. So I pulled out my journal the other day because I was like, I gotta do something, my brain, because I can't just leave you 10 minute long messages all the time. It's too much. I'm still gonna do it, but
so yeah, so I feel like we've highlighted some good things from 2023 we wanted to bring with us. One thing I want to talk about, and here's a caveat.
Okay.
I don't want to talk about politics. I want to talk about, this is an election year. I want to talk about what are our plans to stay informed and not want to kill ourselves.
I mean, that's legitimately a good question. And also, not even just that, but like have the stamina to like stick with it, to be connected to it in a way that, again, doesn't deplete us entirely and also doesn't make us look away, because
also,
we can't.
I'm tired of doing this thing where I'm just mad.
Yeah.
I'm just mad, but not productively.
Right.
Or anything. So I know one thing I want to do. Nope, I lost it.
You know what? It'll come to you. It'll come to you. How about
it'll
this?
Come to me.
I'll jump in here, and then you can just interrupt the moment you remember it. Because okay. We can't lose it again. So my plan for this year is to, I saw there's, it's really funny. They go by KW Bogan on, but it's not your K Bogan. She's much younger. Katie Bowen is what it made me think of.
Bowman.
Bowman. There we go. But it
hi, Katie.
It
we
hit,
love you.
Yes, we do. I've never met you. but it hit my brain in the same way. And she was posting about how what's going on right now makes you feel when you're not able to do what you think you're supposed to be able to do, right? Like, you cannot change the world by yourself. And going into 2024 with the mindset of, I can't do everything, but I can do something. I can't do everything, but I can do something. I cannot do everything, but I should do something is another way to think about that. And I'm saying it over and over again because I need to hear it. And I have a funny feeling there's at least fives of tens of you out there that also need to hear it. Possibly more. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know your life. I barely know mine. No, but it is true that like we can get really bogged down in I have to do everything and therefore I do nothing because we cannot do everything. So for me, putting the phone down, I now have the Al Jazeera app. I have an app called Ground News, which takes the news and consolidates it so you can see where the like media bias is. It boils down articles to their main points and then shows you which articles are maybe more factual than others. And you can compare and contrast.
That's a good idea. I was wondering, I don't want to consume all the news. So yeah, if you have good news tips, I do want to hear them because I think having a diet of a little bit of news and good news sources, which honestly these days can be tough. I'm going to give an example. Have you heard about this stupid Stanley water bottle?
So I really didn't know much about them until Starbucks jumped into the fray with their own sparkly pink one.
So it's been all over the news lately, and I've heard this Stanley water bottle. And anyway, what am I saying is, like, this is not good news.
No.
In fact, this is free advertising for a company.
Exactly.
And so I'm like, I want to have a diet of news that's like good news sources, but I'll catch up, stay informed, and then turn it off.
I will put in my two cents about Ground News. It's a very cheap yearly subscription, and they get you access to a ton of news that's all consolidated for you. It does not solve the problem of like, you can still scroll for too long and realize you've been there for too long, but it's much more consolidated and you're not feeling like, where do I start? They give you a starting point, which I think is the hardest thing, is knowing what do I look at? Well, they've done their best to, and I'm going to use a phrase that our podcast sister, they're our best friends, Maintenance Phase, that Aubrey from Maintenance Phase has said, but I'm going to change it a little bit. Nutritious, like news intake. Like nutritious, like I wanted to feed me in a way that helps me understand and then helps me move forward, not just feeling existential dread and freezing and feeling like, again, I can't do anything to fix this, because that's correct. I can't fix it by myself. What I can do are these three things that, you know what I mean, that I can jump into to help me understand what's going on, and also give me some talking points for when I'm having a conversation with someone that I realize, oh, we're not hearing each other in the way we need to. We might actually be agreeing, but we're just not realizing what it is we're disagreeing on in this moment. Are we really disagreeing, or are we just not agreeing on the substance or on the action here a little bit, if that makes sense?
And one thing I'm trying to do is, and I don't know if this is good or bad. I think it's good, but who knows? When you're having the discourse about things with friends, to not try and be an authority on something that I'm not, you know? If we're talking about, I don't want to talk politics, so I'm not even giving an example. But if I don't know a subject in and out, and again, it's with friends, so it's not like we have to cite an APA. But at the same time, I used to always feel this need. And I think it comes from, I think it just feels bad to look stupid, maybe, or to look uninformed. But if I don't know something, it kind of all boils down to listen more. And I know that's funny, but it's just to be like, maybe I'll just listen. I don't know a lot about this. I'm just going to listen.
Yeah. And I think there's definitely a lot there. I am more of an action-driven person when it comes to understanding things, so I dive into things. I read maybe too much, and I get a little bit too bogged down in all of it, and I'm working on reading enough to get me what I need, and then seeking out the folks that can help me fill in the blanks. And that doesn't mean people from marginalized groups, like, informing me. But the groups that are putting out information in easily palatable and biteable chunks to take in, absorb, think about, and then formulate an opinion on things, that's become my big thing this year. And for 2024, I want to become better at delivering that knowledge in a way that can be intaken I don't want to say comfortable, because a lot of what's going on should make us uncomfortable. But when we're talking particularly to close friends or people we care about very deeply, we do want to have that level of, like, I understand you're confused and you don't know what's going on. Here's maybe something that can help. Here's what can help you understand. And also, it's okay that you don't know this. And now that you do, it's your choice what you do with it, which is the hardest part, because when you want someone to hear you and see what you're saying, it's hard to give them that space to, like, walk away and try to understand it. You and I can both attest to that, because we both have backgrounds in specific queer activism in a lot of ways. And sometimes you're just like, I want to shake you until you understand, you know?
It can be hard, too, to talk to people in our lives where, like, we'll just say queer issues are not a priority to them.
Exactly.
And I don't know if they ever will be. They love you. You're their friend and they love you. But the way their life is structured, queer issues are not a priority. And I guess I'll just leave it at that, because, like, I talked about listening more and not being, like, I guess I don't know what to do about that. But just to be like you said, I can inform people, but I can't change people.
Exactly.
If there's an opportunity to maybe offer some education, I want to take it. But I don't need to get bogged down on, this friend of mine didn't vote. And that really upsets me. I don't got to get bogged down in that, because I did what I could.
Well, and that's the big thing, is that I think sometimes we feel like we failed because that person doesn't understand or isn't quite getting what we're saying. Like, I didn't do my job right. I should say not me. That's how I feel. A lot of when I get really heated about something, it's because I'm re-internalizing, I didn't do my job properly to help them understand what it is I'm saying. I did a poor or a bad job of helping them understand. And that is, again, way too much pressure to put on myself and on that other person. It's just too much.
Yeah.
It's just way too much. And it comes out explosively and sideways, because there's a reason I care about it. There's a reason that it matters.
I just had a moment. Oh, and then too, in 2024, shifting a little bit, but also related, I want to have I need to be more connected with my body and my emotions.
Yeah.
I don't know where it came from, but because I used to love the emotions.
Yes.
One of my favorite movies is still Pieces of April. Oh, and if you've ever seen this movie, to most people it might be boring because this movie is just like, it's just focused on the day of Thanksgiving and how this coming together of family is stressful and it's obligatory and it costs everyone to have a fucking breakdown.
Yeah.
But I loved it because it was just all this raw, real emotion in my mind. Maybe I'll rewatch it and feel differently. But so what am I saying? So I used to love diving into emotion and complicated feelings. And then I reached a point in the last couple of years where I just wanted to get through the day. I was feeling exhausted, possibly because of mental illness, that too, but because of a physical illness. And so I was just trying to get through the day, and all these negative emotions just felt like too much to handle, right? Like hearing about genocides being committed in other countries, I would just go to bed crying and just, it just all felt like too much. And so then I'll have a nervous breakdown.
Exactly.
Where I'm crying because I'm like, this person didn't say hi to me. And the celery went bad. And also I'm dead. I don't know. Those were just random. Yeah. It's just being upset about everything because you're not connected to yourself.
Right.
So I just kind of want to stay more connected with my emotions.
Yeah.
Did that make any sense?
No, it made perfect sense because I think the goal of a lot of what's happening right now, especially from people in power, is that it's better when we're disconnected from that because then we're not seeing what's going on around us as like a human issue. It's like it's an inconvenience or it's something, you know what I mean? It prevents us from getting that 45 miles an hour down the road from point A to point B without noticing anything, right? And I think it's really important to feel that connection. And I just want to say to all of you out there, this,
yes,
what we're saying right now, we wanted to focus this episode a little bit more on like starting anew and what we want to do moving forward, which is why we're not deep diving in on anything right now. You better believe that the mama and I, Crage Part 3 is coming. It's just not today. Like we're not talking about the news in specific right now, not because we don't want to and we're never going to again. It's that just wasn't today. That wasn't what we were doing today.
We knew bringing up specific ideas would have caused tension.
We just would never have gotten back on track because that's how we talk. That's how we operate. So we're really, this is us doing our absolute best to stay on topic.
And also, because the Queermo cast is back. And
we'll
end on that. I'm so excited to do this with you. I know thousands of listeners depend on this to get through the day.
Yes.
Hundreds of thousands of people. And you haven't had that. And I apologize. But we're back.
We're back.
We're here to stay. And you can tip us if you see us on the street.
If you see us
just
on the street.
Just slip it into my sweatpants. Just put it right in.
I'll put my Venmo in the description of this episode. It'll all be great. but
no, we're not. Okay. Anyway, how should we end this?
I mean, I would just like to say as like a like final point, we kind of made one, but I think that we are so glad to be back because this is how we process. And how we stay connected, I think, in a lot of ways, is talking through things. And whether it's a silly, fluffy episode about a movie with gay undertones or a deep dive into a really, really tough topic, we want this to be like an authentic conversation between two people who've known each other for many, many years. Many, many years.
At least four.
At least four, yeah.
But I'm really young. I'm too young.
We're so youthful. I know. I turn 35 soon. What is happening anyway?
Trumpet.
Stop that. But what it all boils down to is we're here. We're queer. We're casting. And I don't know, Mama, is it time? Should we do it?
Thank you for joining us. And Saoji.
Saoji. By the way, hydrated queers. Eat your fiber.
Eat your fiber.